Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Well, welcome to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380 The Biz. This is Christopher Music, the financial prosperity coach, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us in this very special program. Now, this Financial Power Hour is simply that. It is condensed, concentrated knowledge, expertise, laws, all kinds of information in a very dense way to deliver to you so that you can have immediate actionable steps to get you moving toward a high level of financial power in your lives. Now, as a small business owner, you have all kinds of stimuluses. You have all kinds of factors in your life every single day that is making economics and this financial experience perhaps a bit of a challenge. My purpose here is to give you direct information from the smartest people I know that will help you with your learning curve and will help you have a much greater, much more fun experience being a business owner and doing what it is you love to do every single day. So today we have one of my favorite people. His name is Dr. Mitch Levin with Summit Wealth Partners. And we're going to be talking to him today about the secrets to buying, building, and selling a business successfully. Now, this is a very important part of something I call financial power. So before we hear from Dr. Levin, we're going to talk about this idea of financial power and how it relates to your personal financial planning. You see, financial power is a concept. It's a condition. It's a way to operate financially in your economic life that is really broken down into five different areas. Number one is being debt-free. Having your household free of your debt so that you can be free to pursue all kinds of other activities in your life without having a lot of your production going to the banks. It's also setting up a reliable income stream that you cannot outlive, because if you don't create a retirement plan for yourself, no one else will. As a small business owner, you are on the hook for your own financial experience. Number three is having all of your assets protected at the highest possible level. You know, there are 89 different risks, different ways that you can lose the value of what you created just by going to work every day. You know, losses of different asset values or stock market losses, real estate losses, or worse, factors in your business that can detract from the value of your business, like, for example, hiring the wrong employee. If you've ever done that, you know that's a risk, who you hire and who you're surrounding yourself with, right? And the cost of that. You see, all these different 89 risks can destroy the wealth that you're trying to create. So we have to have an answer for that. And this idea of financial power is predicting and providing for those 89 different risks. You have a business. A professional practice, if you're a healthcare professional or a financial professional or some other service type of firm, it's called a professional practice. Or you have a small business where you may own a small manufacturing company or a restaurant or something like that. Well, you know, you have this business. This is your baby. This is what you have spent your adult life anyway building. It is probably the largest asset that you have. But here's the interesting part about it. Almost no one actually creates a plan on how to transition that business to someone else for what I call maximum transition value. That's a unique idea. And I know Dr. Levin's going to be talking about this concept a little bit later, but I want to share this with you from a financial planning point of view. If you do not figure out how to transition your business, then it's probably going to die with you. And so the interesting part about professional practices especially is that we tend to identify ourselves with our business. Well, that's a problem because you have a lifespan and you're going to be interested in working as many hours as you do right now, only for so long. And of course, you know that time is going to come, if it hasn't already, where you're going to say, you know what? I probably want to slow down a little bit. I want to spend my time doing something else besides this for 50, 60, how many hours a week? Well, if you don't have a plan in place to turn the reins over to someone else, and no, it's not going to be your kid in most cases. That's a unique surprise to many people sometimes. Well, I'm just going to turn it over to my kid. Well, that'll only work if your kid has as much passion for your business as you do. So you want to make sure that you know your kid and your kid knows your kid. They know themselves so that that transition can take place. Otherwise, it's a disaster. And I've seen that happen, unfortunately, too many times. But there has to be a way to turn that value over to somebody else, somebody who's willing to take on that future business. And most importantly, to enable you to cash out for a lot of money to be able to have the fruits of that labor so that it comes to you so that you can have time and energy and freedom to go pursue other interests that you have in life. And that's the number 5 point of financial power, is time is free to pursue other goals. This concept of retirement, it's worn, it's dated, it's tired. Retirement is ridiculous as a concept. Yeah, I'm going to go and get into my last third of my life and I'm just going to draw back, which is what the root derivation is of retire. I'm going to draw back. I'm going to draw back from life and not live anymore. Well, work is life. Living is life. Traveling, being out there, being involved is life. And it's interesting to me that we wrap up so much of our life into our business that we're going to somehow just run off into the sunset. No, it's not going to be that way. If you want to have enjoyment and happiness while we're in our last third of life, it's going to be some kind of working retirement, feeling productive, feeling as part of society. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And you entrepreneurs understand what I'm saying as well. So here's what I suggest. I suggest achieving this level of financial power. We're going to share with you some ways to do that. But when you're achieving this level of financial power I'm talking about, no matter when you achieve it, whether you are 30 years old, and yes, I know people that are 30 years old that have achieved financial power, 40, 50, 60, 70, or after, whenever that occurs, that's when you're financially free. That's when you're free to do whatever you want. It has nothing to do with being age 65. You know, it's interesting. Retiring at age 65, you know where that concept came from? Otto von Bismarck. Back in the German government, in the Second Reich of Germany, Otto von Bismarck said, you know what? All your older people are getting in the way of all my factories. And so when you're 70 years old, we're going to go ahead and give you a pension, a welfare pension. Now, guess what the life expectancy was in the late 1800s? 61. So if you happen to live 9 years longer than you were supposed to and you're still working, because retirement wasn't a leisurely concept like we have now back then, we're going to just pay you to leave. And that's what Social Security derived from. And then, of course, his son Wilhelm, when he took over, he lowered the age to 65. Again, 61 is all the longer you're supposed to live. So, hey, if you make it 4 years past when you're supposed to die, then we'll give you a pension. Well, that's over 100 years ago. Fast forward to our modern Social Security system. They fixed the age at age 65. But, of course, people are living much, much longer now. So retirement was never meant to be the stage of life that would last 30 years. So it's no wonder why we have a financial catastrophe ahead of us when we have this idea that age 65, we're just going to go ahead and at the peak of our earning potential, a peak of our competence and our skill, we're just going to just trade it in for a gold watch and go off to, you know, graze or whatever. We all know that's not going to be how it's going to go down. That's a fixed idea we have in our culture. That's disastrous. But you know what? Yeah, you're going to get old. And so we have to have a way to transition this value, this business that we built so hard, that worked so hard to build, and so that we can really enjoy the fruits of our labor rather than the alternative, which is, of course, letting it be sold off for scrap, which unfortunately most businesses will end up that way. And of course, we don't want that to have that happen to you. So that's why I invited Dr. Levin to join us today. So we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we're going to be talking with my very special guest, Dr. Mitch Levin with Summit Wealth Partners. And he'll be giving you his insight into how he bought, built, and sold several businesses successfully and what you should watch out for. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Private Practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how not to lose the value of your life's work. What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Pericles, 5th century before Common Era, Greek statesman. Your estate is simply all of the assets you own or are entitled to under the law. A good estate plan will ensure your assets are dispersed according to your wishes when you pass. Estate planning includes different types of legal documents and instructions for your friends and family so they can act in your interest with confidence. Proper estate planning will perpetuate your wealth to your family, friends, and charities, and better accomplish the purposes for which that wealth was accumulated. Learn more about how not to lose the value of your life's work when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
All right, everyone. Thanks for coming back here to the Financial Power Hour. This is Christopher Music, and we have an incredible special guest here. Now, before the break, I shared with you this idea of financial power, and I shared with you the importance of looking at your business in a way where you're going to transition out of that business at some time. And as promised now, I want to introduce to you my very special guest. Now, Mitch is a national best-selling author, trusted advisor, and accomplished public speaker. He has been featured on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox affiliates, and was interviewed by Astral Media. He has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Barron's, and USA Today, and recognized by America's Premier Experts and the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors. After successfully selling his eye surgery practice and taking considerable action in philanthropy, he turned his energies towards becoming a leader in Florida's financial services industry. Mitch is a certified asset protection planner and a certified wealth preservation planner. He specializes in preserving, protecting, and optimizing client wealth and is highly sought for his understanding of advanced planning strategies. So we're very excited to have him on the show, Mitch Levin. Welcome, Mitch.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
Well, thanks, man. So we have some exciting stuff for our listeners today about the secrets to successfully buying and building and selling a business. So at first, I want to cover with you, how in the world did you come from being an eye surgeon to a wealth manager?
That's a really long story, so I will shorten it for everybody. I had, at the time, amassed a reasonable amount of wealth to be able to retire at age 46. I sold to a publicly traded company. I got involved in philanthropy in a big way, donated some raw land to a local organization, and then quickly recognized that board governance was an issue and became a student of board governance. Then I discovered that so many other not-for-profit charitable organizations have board governance as their issue, and so I started going around the country at my own expense helping these other organizations. And what they shared with me was that financial problems were at the crux of what they're trying to deal with. So I had to learn finance. Around the same time, my friends and colleagues and family members were being victimized by what I call the financial media complex. It was time for me to take matters into my own hands. I was looking for a wealth management firm for myself, and I finally found one that I like so much, I actually bought it in 2010. We started with $140 million under management, and now we're well over $400 million under management. And it's really fun to be able to empower clients to full financial health. What you talked about in your introduction is exactly what we need to be doing for, on behalf of our clients.
That's awesome. You know, I for those of you who don't know, I've known Mitch since 2010, I believe. And when we met, we hit it off right away. I think we have a unique bond as far as philosophy and as far as what we consider the right things to do in this world of personal finance. And so, you know, it's really a beautiful thing, Mitch, that you're here doing this and sharing this knowledge with people.
Well, so, thank you so much.
Yeah. So you have bought, built, and sold several businesses. Now, can you just take a minute and tell our listeners what made you decide to leave one practice and start another?
Wow. Well, what made me decide to leave was, as you know, business is risky. All business has risk. Unfortunately, some people believe that the grass is greener on the other side. And the difference in risks are whether there's overbearing regulatory risk or whether there's market-based risk or a whole variety of different risks. And in medicine in particular, the risk was that you don't know who the customer was. It's some insurance agency not even providing insurance. They were providing third-party payment. The risk wasn't so much malpractice. The risk was that everything was on my shoulders. I had 7 locations, 11 surgeons, 77 employees. It was a large operation, and I was responsible for all of it. The business model was completely upside down. I had climbed the mountain. I did 20,000 procedures. I got what I call stupid money from a publicly traded company, and it was really foolish for me not to have sold out. So I did. And in the process, I quickly discovered, as you were describing in the introduction, that there's more to life than just playing golf and tennis and going sailing. I had to be doing something. I needed a reason to get up and a place to go. And that's how I got involved in the philanthropic world. So being involved in another professional services organization, this time our pizza is not eye surgery, our pizza is financial services, is really not that big of a stretch. It's just we're delivering a different pizza.
Mm-hmm. True. So tell us a little bit more about Summit Wealth Partners and how you got into that side of it. And how it's progressing for you as far as the your goals and visions there.
What's really interesting is that when I tell people I'm in wealth management now, all they think about is which stocks, which bonds, which mutual funds, how to allocate, when do I sell? Oh my gosh, the market's up, the market's down. What do I do? And I have to back off a little bit and describe that that's really a very small piece of what we do on behalf of our clients. The most important thing that I want people to recognize is that our clients are already rich, and it's our job to make sure you never get poor. You've made your fortune in your business or in your practice. You're making a lot of money. And the headwinds that you described before and the methods of how not to lose that money is really critical. So imagine this. Imagine you have a private practice, you're an orthodontist, and you are doing $2 million in gross revenue a year. That's a very successful orthodontic practice, and there are quite a few of them in this country. And let's say you've been in business for 20 years. You started out with zero. So you've gone from zero to $2 million, so the halfway point of that is $1 million. You can figure that you've done $1 million on average for the last 20 years, which means you've done $20 million worth of business. Your labor, your risk, your capital was involved to do that $20 million worth of business. And then ask yourself this question, how much of that $20 million is sitting in your bank account right now?
Whoops.
Whoops. Gee, most people have $500,000 in their 401k. Maybe the $500,000 house is paid off. Their $250,000 beach condo is paid off. And maybe they've got another $250,000 somewhere else. So you're talking less than $1.5 million. Where did the other $18-19 million go? It went to subsidize your employees, your customers, your patients, your clients. It went to subsidize your suppliers and your government.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be better to be able to say, well, gee, if we could just save 1% of our gross revenue for the next 10 years, well, that's another $200,000, and we haven't done anything different. We haven't even talked about saving taxes. We haven't talked about improving insurances. We haven't talked about how to finance major capital purchases. We haven't talked about how to allocate your resources.
True.
So the most important thing for people to recognize is when you talk about exiting a business, the first thing that should exit your business is money. Never forget that a business is something out of which you take money, not something into which you put money. And every one of us who's been in business has had to write that check at some point in time. Payroll came and the cash wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Or what's even worse is the profits were there and the cash wasn't there. And then you had to write an IRS check. That's painful, isn't it?
It is.
So the important thing that I would love the listeners to be able to just really internalize and change their lives on, they can start right now, today. They can look at their gross revenues, and I promise you, every one of us can find 1% greater efficiencies. I'll bet if I made every one of the listeners the general post officer or whatever this person is called for the Postal Service, I'll bet you could find 1% greater efficiencies. That's a big number. That's even a big number in your own small private practice, which, by the way, is nothing more than an illiquid microcap stock.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that people overlook, is the fact that their business is their largest asset and by far their riskiest asset.
And by far their riskiest asset. So why would I take my hard-earned savings and then risk it again in some other business that I have no control over?
Well, that is the problem, isn't it?
It is an enormous problem, Chris. And I think that we can really help people today and get them to change their mindset, because they don't need to swing for the fences. They don't need to take on the higher risk that's associated with higher returns. They already have a high risk, high return business called their practice. When you invest, you're investing in other businesses. I'm not saying you shouldn't invest. Heck, we've got $400+ million invested in the world's great companies. I am saying that what we should be doing is invest prudently without gambling and speculation.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's one of the biggest areas that we cover is risk management. I think most investors don't really fully understand what risk management really is. It's much further than just managing your little account. It has to do with your entire household and professional practice or business. Well, all right, it's time for weather and traffic update. And then up next, we're going to continue to talk with Mitch, and he's going to be giving us strategies you can start implementing right now today in your business. Plus, I think he plans on giving away a free gift, so you don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, shares the three secrets to achieving unlimited wealth. Financial prosperity can be achieved by following three primary principles illustrated in a PIE triangle. The P represents protecting assets and income from the 83 plus specific and measurable risks threatening the long-term affluence of a household. I equals income, which actually creates abundance and an overall improved financial condition. The E refers to expenses after income, earned in relation to funding the immediate and long-term goals of the household and its members. Each corner must work together to stay equal and strong and represent the overall financial condition of the family. What's important is the interrelationship of these three elements. To reach financial power and unlimited wealth, you must raise each corner of the pie triangle. Discover additional secrets in achieving a lifetime of financial success when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Well, hey, welcome back to the Financial Power Hour. We have Mitch Levin with us. And, you know, before the break here, Mitch, you were talking just a little bit about the fact that, you know, we already work with people with money. And, it's about protection. Can you explain just a little bit more about what you were thinking there?
Well, yeah, the important thing is to recognize that the reason that people have money is because of their business, their private practice, their professional practice. That's why you have money. That is the number one asset that somebody has. There isn't a rate of return that we can reasonably expect to get, or any financial advisor can reasonably lead you to expect to get, that's going to solve a problem of lack of money. Now, true, if you make $1 million a year and you live on $950,000 a year, you're not really rich, you're broke at a different level. Somebody who's rich is somebody who does not have to work, somebody who works because you want to, not because you have to. So if you do make $1 million a year and you're saving $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 a year, boy, you can really ratchet up your lifestyle after about 5 or 10 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, once you have that $950,000 lifestyle, it is so difficult to crank it back down. Some famous author, I can't remember who it was, said something like, a luxury once enjoyed becomes a necessity.
Yeah.
Can you imagine any of us trying to go back and do without indoor plumbing, central heat and air conditioning and so forth?
No. Not anybody that I talk to.
I know. And think about this. 30 years ago or so, who would have thought that we would be spending $300 or $400 a month in cell phone internet and cable TV and other Netflix type services?
Absolutely.
That's thousands a year that nobody ever thought of. And what's going to happen in the future? Because the technological breakthroughs are accelerating. It's just getting better and better. There's more and more opportunity for us.
Yeah. And as you have more opportunity, it costs more money. And that's where we have to focus on the fact that, you know, you're going to make yourself rich in this business, folks. In your business, that is your ticket to your wealth. And so obviously it's in your best interest to make that thing go. Financial advisors can only help you protect what you have. So Mitch, I want to get on here to your experience in these transitions, building a practice, selling it, buying a new one, building it, you know, that transition area there. Tell me about some of the mistakes that you've made, and maybe help our listeners today kind of predict what might happen when they just choose to go through their own transition.
Wow, I think the biggest mistake that I have made early on in my career was wearing too many hats and not giving up control of certain things. It seems to me that almost everybody that I meet who's an entrepreneur has this really great distaste for HR issues. And I think the reason that we have this distaste is because the rules seem to be stacked against the business owner. And then we have these employees that we get a little frustrated with. We expect a little bit more in many cases than we get. And I believe that the main reason for that is not that the employees don't care. And if they don't care, then we just hired the wrong employees. And there's a way to attract, hire, and retain really top talent. In fact, I think that's the title of one of my articles. And you can do that in a real satisfying way that's systematized. But it's not just that. It's also, I think the main reason is that because we as professional practitioners, for example, or business owners where I may be the primary sales guy or I'm maybe the primary operations guy. I am so busy working in my business, I don't have enough time to work on my business. And HR is really, it's really leadership. And leadership is nothing more than getting others to take action that they otherwise wouldn't take except for you. And you could use it like any tool for good or for bad. So leadership is really just sales to your own people. And what they need is clarity of vision. They need direction, and they need the resources. And without that, they're destined to fail. You're destined to be frustrated. And that is getting in your own – that got in my own way early on. I was really fortunate in that my uncle was an entrepreneur, and he was one of the founders of a very large auto glass company that you've heard of. You've seen their commercials. And then he retired, and I was able to get him to run my medical practices for me while I was still doing the surgical stuff. And then after he got everything on in place, I stopped doing the surgery and started running the practices, and I learned how to be a leader. So the primary thing, I think the most difficult mistake that I made, and I see a lot of business owners making, is wearing too many hats, not delegating enough, and letting the work in the business get away on the work on the business.
Well, I think that's beautifully summarized. I would wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think one of the comments people make, I can't find good help. That's a comment people make. And I just, first of all, I don't like when that's said, because you are what you think, and you're going to get what you think. And it's funny to me is people, I can't find good help, and 2 or 3 years go by and you haven't found anybody good to hire. Well, of course, because you're saying I can't find good help. If you say, hey, there's awesome people out there that want to work with me, all you got to do is match the purpose, and we're going to pull them in. That's a very different point to make. What would you say about that?
Well, I think that you're, without getting a little too touchy-feely, Esalen Institute, I think you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. If you think you can't, you definitely can't. So what I tell people, what I try to tell people is words have real meaning. And the old phrase that my mother taught me, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never harm you, is the wrong bit of advice. The words hurt a lot more for a lot longer than do the sticks and stones.
Well, that's true. And as business owners, we're constantly in that kind of field. Very interesting.
And it's amazing how our employees can misinterpret our intentions if the tonality isn't quite right or the word isn't quite right. And very few of us are really professional wordsmiths. That's why when I see an email that is more than 3 bullet points long, I either delete it or don't read it or pick up the phone and call the person and say, what are you trying to tell me? Because I don't want to be responsible for the misinterpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one thing is one of the things that all of us small business owners have as challenges is, how do we survive and how do we make it in this environment of such really overwhelming odds, for lack of a better way of saying it. And we don't really work on our business. We're so hectic in the business, we forget that we have to do planning. We have to extract ourselves and consider this business as one of our assets, our financial planning assets. And it has to be managed just like you would a retirement plan or anything else from outside of it. So what have you found in your experience that to help you extract yourself from your business?
Well, the important thing for me was to back away from being the person delivering the pizza. Making the pizza and delivering the pizza and focusing on running the pizza shop. It doesn't matter how good your pizza is. And when I say the word pizza, and everybody's got their favorite pizza in the world, but when I say the word pizza, everybody's going to conjure up a completely different name of a large franchise organization of the pizza company. I'm not going to say who it is. And if you ask them, well, do they make the best pizza? There's a snicker. Well, of course not. But here's what they do make. They make systems. They've got delivery systems. They've got logistical systems, they've got supply systems, they've got marketing systems, they've got manufacturing systems. And that's no different than a large hamburger franchise. You can go anywhere in the world and get the very same hamburger made by some surly, pimply-faced teenager who'd rather not be there, and you know that it's the very same hamburger because they've got systems. Systems is the number one thing I would encourage our listeners to really focus on building in their business, their practice. Without those systems, you're merely a lifestyle owner of a job. It's not a real business. There's nothing wrong with that, but you may have to be working it until it no longer produces any more milk. And that's not where most of us want to be. Most of us don't really want to ride this cow to death.
Well, I think you're right. And folks, you know, did you get that, what he said there about building systems? You know, if you want to be free of your business or your professional practice, you have to build systems, because that is the only thing that has value to a buyer. You have to think about that. They don't want a job. A buyer doesn't want a job. They want a machine that runs without them. If you think about it from those terms, you're probably going to find much more success in transitioning your business. So you know what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break right now. Up next, we're going to be wrapping up this interview with Mitch, and we're going to let you know how you get a free copy of one of his best-selling books. So stay tuned for instructions on how to get your free gift. We'll be right back.
Private practice millionaire academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how to live your art and promote your brand. Professionals dedicated to pursuing excellence in their chosen field recognize that every profession, from hardcore scientist to abstract artist, have both science and art in that particular field. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths. Art is the quality, production, expression of what is beautiful and appealing. Every professional applies the science of his subject to create an effect. The individual aesthetics applied to the science to create unique results is the art form, wholly unique to that individual. This becomes the brand. Your brand is your warranty to the customer, the assurance that the artistic application of the science of what you do will afford them the results they seek. Discover the secrets to living your art and promoting your brand. Visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour. I'm Christopher Music, your host, and we have Mitch Levin with us today from Summit Wealth Partners. And Mitch, what I want to do is ask you a question now about what you have done and some of the strategies that you have been able to implement to prepare a business for transition.
Well, thank you for asking that. I think one of the important messages I'd like people to understand is that we are not business consultants. We are not tax consultants, and we are not attorneys. We're wealth managers, and yet the biggest piece of your wealth is your business. So we help people understand how to extract cash from their business today while still having tremendous value of the business in the future. And I think that's really important. So one of the major headwinds people have is interest rates. You talked about that with certain debts, and there are many ways to optimize that to your advantage. Another major headwind is taxation. And there are so many different things that we can do to improve somebody's tax position, especially current taxes right now. Income taxes are, believe it or not, at a historical low. Chris, you're not old enough to remember this, but the highest marginal tax bracket was 94% back in the 1960s. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
And not only that, if you go back historically since 1907, when the tax code first started and the highest marginal rate was only 7%, The average rate is 58.43%. And we're right now at the highest rate of, what, 39.6?
Mm-hmm.
With $20 trillion in debt coming upon us pretty quickly, there's only one place you're going to get the money, from someone who's got it. And therefore, tax rates, most people believe, have to go up. I'm not here to predict the future. I can't tell you what the tax rates are going to do. I haven't got a clue, and I don't want anyone to think that I do have a clue. All I know is what most people believe. And if we believe tax rates are going up, it certainly behooves us to minimize that tax hurdle. So one thing that we can do is something called a private insurance company. Business is risky. There's all kinds of risk, like risk of your largest client, risk of your largest supplier, risk of, for example, sexual harassment. To the extent that that you're the business owner and you've got a lot of women in your business, well, you're in total control of that risk. But good luck buying insurance for that, nevertheless. However, if you have a private insurance company, you can insure up to $1.2 million worth of business risk. And that risk is completely deductible as any insurance premium. The interesting thing is you get to earn all the reserves for yourself. Worst case scenario, if you never have a claim, you only pay long-term capital gains on that money. So you've already saved yourself 20-some-odd percent in taxes merely by having your own private insurance company. Now, here's the problem with having a private insurance company. You have to be able to price the risk accordingly. If you cut corners, if you don't do it right, you're going to get into trouble with the IRS. If you do it right, that means you have to have enough gross revenue to be able to price the risk appropriately for the amount it's going to cost you to put it together and then to deduct it. So yeah. I always tell clients, if you're going to do a private insurance company, make sure that your books are squeaky clean, because you should expect you will get audited. You'll pass the audit if they're squeaky clean. So what? That's actually pretty awesome. It's not quite an endorsement from the IRS, but it's almost, and almost as good. But if you're squeaky clean and you pass the audit and it only costs you a couple of thousand dollars to save yourself $500,000 worth of taxes, I think that could be worth it.
I agree. And this is one area that's an advanced planning strategy. It's called a captive insurance company, for those of you who may be new to that concept. And it's a very powerful risk management tool, asset protection tool that business owners can use if you have enough free flowing revenue that you can commit to paying in premiums out of the business, for tax deductions and for risk transfer and all of those different benefits that captive insurance companies can do. If you want to know more information about that, of course, we can share some of that information with you. So what would you consider, Mitch, some of the bigger threats to building wealth and to this event of transitioning out of a business, cashing in on that business?
Well, I think the biggest one is expectations and lifestyle. Imagine this. Imagine that you've got this business then that does $10 million for easy arithmetic. And let's just say that you have a 10% net pre-tax profit, a true profit of 10%. That means you have $1 million profit in your business. Somebody's going to buy that business for some number, let's say five times that profit, or $5 million. Well, that's really good, isn't it? $5 million buys a very nice lunch. So you're not going to get $5 million, though. Here's what you're likely to get. First of all, you have transaction costs. You have to pay your investment banker or your business broker. You have to pay your accountant and your attorney. That's probably going to come to almost 10% of that, about $500,000. So now you're left with $4.5 million. Oops, you have capital gains tax. That's about a quarter right now. So take off another $1 million. So now you're at $3.5 million. Now, if you live on $300,000 a year and you're 60 when you sell, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out you're out of money in 12 years, assuming a zero return, zero inflation, and zero tax rate on the money you have. And there is not a rate of return that's going to solve that problem for you. If you think you're going to get 10, 12, 15% returns on that retirement money, that's really unrealistic. You might get 3, 4, 5, 6% today in this low interest rate environment. That's realistic. Right. So even if you do get that, you still have 2-4% of inflation. And in fact, for those of us who are affluent, which means anybody in terms of the IRS and Department of Labor, anybody earning more than $110,000 a year is considered rich. They're in the top 10 percentile of all wage earners. Unbelievable. So if you're you're rich if you make $110,000 a year. So if you're living on $300,000 a year and you're going to sell your business and net out $3.5 million, we've got to make some changes for you and make some changes now. We have to start extracting cash now. Many businesses know that there's a great big difference between cash and earnings. Gee, you get this accountant that tells you, well, you earned $1 million last year. Yeah, but I only took home $600,000. Where'd the rest of it go? It went back into your business. You had to buy equipment. You had to buy inventory. You had to pay some other new something or other. So how we finance major capital purchases, that's something that we can do through the private capital reserve strategy. So many people are unaware of how to do that. Dave Ramsey talks about not doing that, yet Dave Ramsey has a $60 million private capital reserve of his own. That's amazing. Yeah, very interesting. Banks have probably on the order of about $200 billion of this private capital reserve strategy, completely unrelated to their bank reserves.
Amazing. Amazing how much wealth could be accumulated in business.
And if you can accumulate this wealth and the accumulation is tax-free and it compounds and you've already paid the tax on it, and you get to take it out completely tax-free, that is even more powerful.
Now, you know, that's one of those little mysteries that, if you're listening to this and you want to have more questions on that, give us a call. Give Mitch a call, and he can go over that that unique strategy with you. So, Mitch, as we wrap up here, you have this book, and this is what a title. Congratulations, your business sold. Payday, now what? How to prepare for and protect your sudden wealth. How can our listeners get a copy of this?
Well, if you call in to our offices, and that is 866-977-2252. That's 866-977-2252. We can get you a copy, and if you tell us your name, we'll actually inscribe it for you.
Wonderful. And I've read little bits and pieces of this. It's really cool, man. It's one of those things that people certainly need to have as a strategy to get out of their business and to not lose that wealth they worked their whole lives to attain. So, Mitch, thanks so much for being here today. You are a rock star, and I'm sure our listeners loved having you today.
I'm about the only old, fat, bald rock star you've ever met.
Yeah, you are, though, man. And I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me. I hope your listeners got a lot out of this, and there's so much more.
There is. This makes it a fun industry. So, folks, guess what time it is? It's time to take action. You know, it's time to sit down and write out a quick plan for you. What is your plan to transition out of your business? How are you going to do that? Start doing some research. Start looking at it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point or another. And, one of these 21 laws of prosperity that I cover in some of my material is having a plan, setting goals, and setting out a plan to achieve those goals. You know, the financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator of how well you have understood and applied these 21 laws of prosperity. These are basic laws. And I invite you to come to my website at pchristophermusic.com to learn more about these 21 principles of financial prosperity for the private practice professional. You know, we have a program called the Private Practice Millionaire, and we actually have a 3-day academy where we teach professionals how to gain the most value on this subject of financial power. So go to my website, pchristophermusic.com. While you're there, feel free to download a copy of one of my best-selling books and check out my blog and archives for previous shows. Let's stay connected through social media, and join me next time on the Financial Power Hour. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.